In general Hashkofa questions, the question is often asked to prove that there is a God. And of course, one approach to this is certainly that once we can validate the Torah Misinai, that the all-powerful and the almighty and the all-knowledgeable, the one who is in control of life and history and all of the future, has given the Torah at Har Sinai, then the question of proving a God is really academic, because whoever it is that authored this document and was in such control of history and had such knowledge of the future and was capable of such hashgacha protis and nisim gluyim and sustaining the Klal Yisrael and the Torah throughout the generations, then this of course is the Creator, and there's no need to prove beyond that. An additional discussion of this often has to do with the fact that if we understand that the truth of the matter is, if one just looks at this world and recognizes the complexity of this world, knows just as no machine has been self-created just by some accident of pieces falling together, and no dictionary has been published just by the falling together of letters in an arbitrary way by accident, so too a world such as this could not have been created, could not exist by any accidental form. And the only reason that people would maybe like to look at it that way is because accident means that there is no purpose. If there is no purpose, I'm free to do whatever I want and I don't violate that purpose. If, however, there's a creation and there is a purpose, that obligates me, and mankind unfortunately mistakenly feels that to be free from obligations is the road to happiness. Unfortunately, throughout history, and certainly since the advent of the theory of evolution, we've found more depression and more sense of emptiness in life, most likely due to the fact that when you take away this sense of purpose and start to claim that human life is here by accident, without any purpose, without any meaning, therefore there, if I have no an accident, I have no purpose in life, I can also have no sense of accomplishment and no sense of fulfillment and meaning and happiness. And that's why, unfortunately, so many people are depressed. In terms of another question, how was Hashem created? This issue really doesn't require much, because as long as we understand that we talk about Hashem in human terms only because we have no other way to refer to it, and that's why the Torah speaks about him in those terms. But the reality is that we're talking about a concept which is far beyond any form of human comprehension. If it's beyond any knowledge or understanding, then we certainly can't think in terms of a beginning and an end. Those are all human terms. Those are all in our human world of finite comprehension, but certainly nothing that can relate to the infinite. And therefore, since we're dealing with such a concept, then the question really becomes more academic. The question of free will versus, if Hashem knows what's going on, how do we have free will? The Rambam says this is a difficult question. I believe that we don't really understand the question fully, but usually on a simple level to a young person, we can understand it in some form by knowing the limitations of our understanding. And of course, our world and our understanding is limited to time and space. When we talk about the infinite, we talk about beyond time and space, those limitations don't apply. And therefore, what really has to be understood, although it can't be because we are limited by time and space, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of seeing that which, of knowing that which we will freely choose at some later date, even though in our concept and the limitations of time, knowing what we will freely choose means that the choice is no longer free. However, he has the ability to see beyond the limitations of time, and therefore to know now with his infinite wisdom the result of that free choice, which is going to happen later. In our world it can't be, because the time constraints between now and later. In his world there is no limitation of time, and therefore seeing the future and existing in the present are in no way contradictory. Why does Hashem do bad things to good people? Well, this, of course, the first question, it seems from Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand, Hayreini noes trochecho, Yirmiyahu Anovi certainly said, Madua derech reshoim tzlecho, and it's been an issue that's always bothered us, bothered the mankind throughout the generations. Again, if we understand that we don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then this issue is really academic, because much as the simple moshul, and maybe a bit trite, of the needlepoint work that's hanging above us, and if the design part, the picture part, is facing heavenward, and we just see the back where the strings hang aimlessly and in a not very pretty fashion, so we look and we see this ugly piece hanging, and if we were to go upstairs we'd see this beautiful tapestry and recognize all of the interrelationships between the colors and the shapes and so forth, something which we can't possibly see from this vantage point. It's told of Chassidish Rebbe that was once asked, why does God allow these things to happen in the time of the Holocaust? And the Rebbe said, you know, that he's an old man and he learned many years ago that he doesn't like to ask God why, because he's afraid if he does, he'll say, you want to know why? Fine, come on upstairs and I'll be glad to show you. And the Rebbe said, I'm not quite ready to go. Of course, these answers are cute and these answers are true in a certain sense, but they don't always answer the inquisitive mind and of the person who's concerned, and certainly of the suffering person who feels the pain personally. And I think that this has to be understood in another way too, that these questions are really emotional, because on a logical basis it doesn't make any sense to ask the question why Hashem does. He does everything, he knows everything. Hatsur tomim pa'olo ki kol drochov mishpot keel emuna ve'ein ovel tzadik ve'yosharu. And if we understand that, then we know everything he does is for the good, and everything is part of a total system, a total master plan for all of mankind, and Klal Yisrael Bifrat. And therefore, to ask any questions from such a limited human point of view really doesn't make any sense. The questions are emotional because we feel the pain, and when we feel the pain of that suffering, especially the suffering of the righteous, it's just so, it hurts so much that we have these questions. And it seems from the piyut, from the perek in Tehillim Mizmor Shleim Hashabbos, Ishbar lo yedoch silo yoven esoris, b'shvorach b'shoim ko esav, it's hard to understand. And then the Sipurnu explains there, Tzadik atomar yifroch, that the question is to be understood by looking at the Tzadik. Even in his old age, he continues to do good. By looking at the Chesed Hashem, looking at the Hashgocha, looking at the Darkei Hashem that the Tzaddik molds his life after, and that's Lahagid Keyosher Hashem Tzuriv Lehav Losaboy. Seeing that, seeing the Hashgocha, seeing the Chesed Hashem, seeing the Tzaddik who continues to do good and molds his life upon the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that he is suffering, that answers the questions of Ishbar lo yedo. And it seems that the question is emotional, just can't tolerate the good suffering so much and the wicked flourishing, and recognizing the Chesed Hashem, recognizing the kindness of Hashem, seeing the greatness of the tzaddikim who continue to do good despite their own suffering, that sort of emotionally calms us and answers us. And Nope. If the Hashem is so good, and if these tzaddikim are so confident, then we can live with that. And I think it has to be understood that way too. It also has to be understood that Iyov suffered enormously, and at the end of Perek Lamed Ches, Hashem says, Hashem where were you when I created the world? And answers him with the ultimate answer of, if you saw the total picture from beginning to end, from the beginning of time until the end, you would understand why things happen. But of course, you weren't around and you don't see the total picture, so how can you even ask any questions? But what's interesting is, he only told this to him in the 38th Perek, and only before the Pasuk before Rashi says he's meramis to him that things are going to turn around, he's going to have children again, he's going to get back his health and his wealth. And it seems that this is the ultimate answer, but we can't take it so easily. It can't just be thrown at us. Sometimes people have to agonize and look for answers and try to understand, and maybe we even have to help them, as his friends did in the attempt to try to understand. And only when we realize that it is in fact beyond our understanding, only at that point can we are we willing to accept the ultimate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that that there are certain things that are beyond our comprehension, but knowing and understanding and trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the strength to continue. I see people doing averus all the time and they aren't punished. Why should I do mitzvahs? Well, this is something that really is related to this. You know, we don't understand fully the Darkei Hashem. We do know that we find, Rashi tells us, in Chumash and Bereishis there, I think, I think it's on that Rashi, on that Posuk, and we find in Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu oftentimes rewards the Rishoyim in this world in a cheaper currency, in a reward that's worthy of their doing good, but less eternal than in Olam Haba, in order to pay them for their evil there. And to the tzaddikim, to the contrary, he rewards he punishes them in this world, where the punishment is in a cheaper currency, where it's easier than in the eternal world. And therefore, since we don't see the total picture, we only see a moment in time, the moment that we're watching, this question really doesn't make any sense. And b'chalal, a person is not supposed to, on the highest level, to do mitzvahs for reward, but rather because this is the Rotzon Hashem. And there is a certain level that a person can realize that I do mitzvahs. The Torah says that we do mitzvahs l'toiv loch. It's for our good. This is for our benefit. The mitzvahs are the directives that we find in the handbook, in the instruction book that comes with this world, telling us how to live a good life and how to be happy in this world, and how to achieve the ultimate that Hashem in His infinite chesed wishes to grant us, and therefore that should influence us in doing mitzvahs. Why did the Holocaust, September 11th, the tsunami happen? These are issues, again, about suffering, which ultimately we do not know the answers. Anything we say to attempt to explain them sometimes just cheapens the event and makes people think that we're insensitive to the dimensions of these terrible tragedies. However, in the global perspective, Hashem has His cheshbonos. Oftentimes they're beyond anything that we can see. Sometimes we do have to explain that there are lessons that can be learned from these events. There were definitely serious problems that Klal Yisrael was facing at the time of the Holocaust. I happen to know in September 11th that tragic event, which was of tragic proportions, but I happen to know a young man who had been off the derech, and when that happened, he that day, that afternoon, he pulled up his former yeshiva and he told him he had enough of this crazy world, and he's coming back to learn, and he hasn't stopped since then. He's today a Talmud Chochem Muflog and destined to be one of the Gedolei Hador. So, you know, it's not for us to judge, but we certainly don't see the total picture, and therefore the questions really have to take on a lesser bite to them because of the fact that our scope is limited. The questions about Hashem, which are hard to deal with, you know, who created Hashem? Well, we can only ask that question, as we mentioned before, about something that we have some concept of. If I see a tree and I know that it has its limitation and it has its beginning and end and its growth and its ability to be destroyed, then I can ask such a question, where did it come from? When we deal with an infinite and beyond the scope of any human understanding concept, then we certainly have to be able to accept the idea of a Kadmon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always here, and it's just the nature of this being of whom we have no real comprehension in human terms anyway. How can I connect with Hashem if I've never seen Him? How do I feel closer to Him? Well, I think connecting with Hashem and feeling closer to Him have a lot to do with how we appreciate many of the various mitzvahs. If we recognize the Hashgacha Pratis, and there's so much today in terms of books and stories that deal with Hashgacha Pratis, and we realize His personal involvement in our own lives, and we can be made to realize that by looking for it. The Ramban says that from the Nisim Gluyim we come to recognize the Nisim Nistorim and the Hashgacha Pratis, and certainly we can recognize that in our own lives, and if we recognize it in our lives and the lives of those around us in previous generations, then we see Him active in our life, we come to feel closer to Him. Tefillah in a heartfelt, meaningful way, with understanding not just of the words, but of the concepts, of the benefits that we get from praising Him, not the benefits that He gets from our praises. And the bitochen that we inspire in ourselves by turning to Him and expressing that confidence that He's going to, and He does listen and answer our prayers. These things can bring us closer to Him. Someone once put it in the following way, that when I pray, when I daven, I talk to Hashem, and when I study Torah, Hashem talks to me, recognizing that the Torah is the divine communication to mankind, and through Torah and through Das Torah and the advice and guidance of the Chachmei HaTorah, we get the directives as from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Gemara says, Chochem Odif Minovi, that a Chochem is even greater than a Novi. If there's a comparison, it would seem that the Chochem also has qualities of letting us know what the future is, not to predict it, but to guide us to a better future. When we follow the Torah, we feel that divine guidance, and that brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, emphasizing, as I mentioned, Hashgacha Protis, and especially the concept of Bitochem Bashem. There is much that's written on that today too. If we can inspire our students to daven for things that mean something to them, as the Chayyodim writes, that at the end of the Shmona Esrei, after we've said Yiyu L'Rotzon, we should ask in any language for personal requests, and that makes the whole tefillah, in a sense, a tefillas tachanunim rather than just tefillas keva. And to inspire Bitochem, that ability to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He responds to us, and that He's concerned with us, and that He loves us, and these are things that can bring us closer to Hashem. They can't just be discussed one time, they cannot just be lectured, they have to be experienced. If tefillah becomes a meaningful experience, if recognition of Hashgacha Pratis becomes a way of life, if Torah is studied as a divine directive and appreciated as such, and if we inspire ourselves to real trust and bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then of course these things bring us closer and closer.